All right, let me jump on into the opening monologue. I might take a little bit longer with this one because there was so much I wanted to say, but I will remind you guys before I get started that attorney Stan McDonald from the law firm of Wilmer and Lee, Stan McDonald, a 30-year veteran of the practice of law, he is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. So, yeah, let me kick off by just saying the lovely Charlene and I, we returned late last night from D.C., and it was an adventure, and to say that I have some impressions is an understatement. I mean, first of all, I will point out that she and I have really had some unique opportunities over the years to attend spectacular events, to even be present for history-making moments. I mean, we were there when Republicans took back Alabama's government after 136 straight years of Democrat control. We attended the balls, all the speeches. I was personally there when U.S. troops destroyed al-Qaeda on the battlefields of Afghanistan at the beginning of the war and rode horses across the northern regions of that nation. I personally handed a copy of the new Iraqi constitution to leaders of the newly elected government in Baghdad in the beginning of that war. Every once in a while, I've been able to stand next to heroes or leaders or preachers or politicians who were truly impacting culture and changing their times. But at the same time, I'll be honest with you, I'm not prone to seek those moments out. They typically just involved being in the right place at the right time for the right reasons with the right people. But these past few days were something that I wanted to seek out. I wanted to be there. Charlene and I both. We wanted to be like so many thousands of others, to just be in the nation's capital and actually watch history unfold. So we went. And it did not disappoint. And to say that we're tired right now would be an understatement. I mean, hotel living ain't grand, right? Every Uber ride was apparently upcharged by double because they could. But every street was also closed, which meant that more than once we just had to tell our driver to let us out and we'd walk the last mile, which we did. Plans also changed on a minute-by-minute basis. We went to D.C. with tickets to two balls, the inauguration, the governor's prayer breakfast, the Trump rally on Sunday, and the victory parade all had tickets, and yet we arrived to find that everything had changed. The inauguration was now inside, the rally and the parade were now first come, first serve, and the weather, wow, the weather made it all the more exciting. Was it cold? You better believe it was cold. Did it snow? Some, but it also sleeted and rained while we were out walking. And then the road closures. Look, it felt like there was no rhyme or reason. We once walked a mile and a half in freezing weather and sleet, only to find the last quarter mile was blocked by barricades that had the crowds hemmed into the sidewalks. There was no way to get to our hotel. I finally walked up to the 10-foot-high steel mesh fencing, and I called a police officer over, and I asked him, I said, hey, how do we get to our hotel down there? He looked around, and he goes, okay, you didn't hear this from me, but go back the way you came for a block. Yeah. He says, there's about to barricade that intersection, but before they do, just step out in the road and walk with the cars. So we did. Just acted like we owned the place and walked in the traffic lines and made it back to the room and watched the rally on TV. Well, by then, we were fine with that, by the way. We had one Uber driver that began asking me for directions. I don't live there. She was so frustrated trying to get through the gridlock and the barricades. I had to remind her that she's the one who lived there, not us. This was her job. Security was unreal. Security, wow. Thousands of National Guard, police, Border Patrol, Secret Service, and an unknown number of city workers all bundled up against the cold, manning every street corner and lamppost you can imagine. But I got to be honest with you, aside from all that, there was still like a magical feeling in the whole area. I mean, everywhere you went, there were throngs of people wearing Trump hats and sweatshirts and MAGA jackets. There were outbreaks of spontaneous applause and people slapping backs and talking about how great everything felt. The air in D.C. was different. The mood was kind of electric. And I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And in the middle of it all, there were some key memories that would not have been there had we not gone there. I mean, we dressed in all of our finery. We went to mingle with crowds at formal balls and enjoyed being among folks who were, like us, just glad to be present. We met with friends and colleagues and like-minded folks from Alabama for Governor Ivey's prayer breakfast, and praise and worship broke out while we were there. I hung out in the waiting area of a store and made a new friend from Alaska as both of our wives were shopping for clothes we didn't know they needed and compared notes on how our respective states were responding to the incoming new administration. Alaska and Alabama, we discovered, are worlds apart, but there are right-side ruffians everywhere, and we saw things the same way. We connected with friends we hadn't seen in a while. We had a great time laughing over an Italian dinner at Filomena's in Georgetown, and while we were there, half the restaurant broke out chanting, USA, USA, in the restaurant. We were invited to go to the office of Congressman Robert Aderholt to a watch party for the inauguration itself and wound up being one of the best moments of the trip as folks all stood and sat and sprawled out on his floor just to watch the swearing in of the new administration. Look, I'll be honest with you, that was significant. I mean, I remember being in a military chow hall once, headed to Iraq, when the TV news broke in the chow hall that we had captured Saddam Hussein. And that moment in the chow hall when the crowd erupted then, that was the only time in my memory that beats the mood and the spontaneous joy that I saw the other day in the congressman's office. I mean, it was almost an emotional event as all of us in the room hung on every word of Trump's oath of office until the Chief Justice finally said, "Congratulations, Mr. President." And the room just started cheering and laughter and high fives and handshakes. Charlene and I, we hung around afterward and talked with folks and then realized that right outside the window of the congressman's office, where I was standing, was the Marine One helicopter that was spooling up to take Biden away. To take Biden away. Let that sink in. So I filmed it from my perfect vantage point as Marine One, which was technically not Marine One then. It was on loan from the new president. Lifted off and flew past the American flag and around the dome of the Capitol while I caught the moment on camera. It was like the bad dream coming to a fitting end. Like Scripture says, you will look for them and they will not be found. Yes, indeed. But the most significant thing for me, though, out of all of it, was standing there in the congressman's office listening to Trump deliver his acceptance speech. And y'all, he nailed it. I know most of y'all saw it. He delivered a speech for the ages as I stood there among other like-minded folks in the congressman's office, and it was so good I had to start taking notes. I've got a whole section in my phone filled up with notes. The points that flowed out in that one speech were everything we've been looking for. He promised God, country, family, and common sense were all coming back. He vowed that the, quote, golden age of America starts now. In that speech, Trump pulled no punches. He said everything he wanted to say. He did not care who was sitting to his left hand while he said it. They tried to kill him. They tried to destroy his character. They tried to ruin his business. They tried to disrupt his family. And they certainly tried to rebrand America in their own image. So why would he not say the things that he said? The entire time, too, he appeared relaxed but resolute. Some of his key points were delivered with emphasis and then a stare at the audience that said, "I'm not kidding." He called out the southern border. He called out the weaponization of government. He called out lawfare. He called out economic ruin. He said the turnaround time begins now. Right now. He called for unity, and he also said, though, that we will not forget our God. He labeled the whole thing as the revolution of common sense, and what made it all the more enjoyable is that Biden and Harris looked miserable the entire time he spoke. He said it's time once again to act with the vigor of being the greatest nation. We will not be deterred, he said. We will pursue our manifest destiny into the stars, and we will pursue planting the American flag on the planet of Mars. He remarked on the history of what it took to build this country, everything from westward expansion to the splitting of the atom and launching mankind into the heavens. If we work together, he said in that speech, there's nothing we cannot do and no dream we cannot achieve. He said, in America, the impossible is what we do best. And I love that line. But his closing quotes, and I'll close with this, were perhaps the most electric. He said this, and I'm putting it in quotation marks now. He said, after all we have been through together, we stand on the verge of the four greatest years in American history. We will reveal and revel in the nation we love. We are one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. So to every parent who dreams for their child and every child who dreams for their future, I am with you, and I will win for you, and we're going to win like never before. And then he added this, and I quote again, he said, quote, America will be respected again and admired again, including by people of religion, faith, and goodwill. We will be prosperous. We will be proud. We will be strong, and we will win like never before. We will not be conquered. We will not be intimidated. We will not be broken, and we will not fail. And from this day on, the United States of America will be a free, sovereign, and independent nation. We will stand bravely. We will live proudly. We will dream boldly. And nothing will stand in our way because we are Americans. The future is ours, and a golden age has just begun. So yeah, am I tired today? Darn right, I need a vacation. Am I glad I went? Darn right, I'd do it again. Y'all, this was history. It was history, my friends. This was real history. And we are smack dab in the middle of it. So bring on the golden age of America. Let's do this, I say. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.